Welcome in, 8 o'clock. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. Pyle, hello? Hello?
We're on, I checked.
Don't have any thoughts about the U.S. losing to France yesterday? Rockies just can't come up with timely hits. Despite really good starting pitching this weekend against the Dodgers. Rockies can't get it done. Where there was an opportunity to win that series in L.A. You got some thoughts, any of those things today? Text or call us 970-242-1340. It's the good, the bad, the ugly. Katie Ledecky, who's been unbeatable in the pool for the last decade, loses yesterday in an epic showdown with Ariana Titmus of Australia. Got some thoughts on that from the Olympics. How much of the Olympics have you watched? I'm just curious today, Pyle. How much have you watched? I have to be honest, I haven't watched a ton of it.
Yeah, really very little.
So if you've been watching it, anything caught your eye a little bit? Text or call us 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. So if you're going to win the good, the bad, the ugly today, got to hit us up on the text line, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. And you were really good last week, Pyle. You were really good. Today it's been a slow start, man. Come on. Slow start. Let's get to some NFL news this morning. And want to start things out with what could be an interesting meeting today. It's kind of a Rodgers adjacent update, if you will.
Rodgers! This can't double check!
Rodgers adjacent.
Because it does involve the team that he's currently employed by, the Green Bay Packers. And that today, shareholders, fans, of course, the Packers are publicly owned. They'll arrive at Lambeau Field for the annual meeting of Green Bay Packers Incorporated. And there'll be presentations from CEO Mark Murphy and beloved general manager Brian Gutekunst.
Yes. Revered, I think, is a good word.
So what's that going to be like with Packers fans, shareholders, arriving at Lambeau, those two guys talking about how things are going with Aaron Rodgers and now Devontae Adams? And over the weekend, Adams and Rodgers with the picture of
the same Instagram story
with Jordan and Pippen, the last dance, kind of indicating that farewell. And of course, you've also had Rodgers allegedly referring to Gutekunst as Jerry Krause, the infamous GM that many people feel like led to the end of the Bulls' great dynasty.
Don't you love it when things come full circle?
Yes, I do. And so
it's a callback is what we call it.
It would be a callback. So with camp rapidly approaching this week, camp, by the way. Now, we've heard that the Deshaun Watson will be at Texans camp. What his future looks like, we don't know.
Will he be allowed at Texans camp?
My understanding of what I saw is yes, at the moment, he'll be able to go and practice and be at camp. What that means for preseason games, though, what that obviously means for the regular season, that's still very much up in the air. And if you're David Culley, their new head coach, if you don't know what his future looks like, how many reps do you give to Deshaun Watson, who would be your starting quarterback, right, under normal circumstances?
If he's not going to be there for one reason or another, I mean, it's Tyrod Taylor taking the number one reps, right?
Exactly. You know, they drafted Davis Mills, the former Stanford quarterback. But, yeah, at this point in time, it's Tyrod Taylor. But getting back to the Rodgers situation, though, I mean, it'll be interesting to hear what the reaction is from Packers fans/shareholders when they hear from Gutekunst and Murphy? How much do they get booed? Do they get booed at all? Will the Packer fans that are there, will they be on Team Aaron's side or Team Packer's side, if you will? Team Murphy / Gutekunst. Will they side more with the ownership or the leadership, I should say, of the Green Bay Packers or their future Hall of Fame star quarterback? It will be an interesting meeting, no doubt, when the Packer fans, shareholders,
yep,
arrive there for that.
At, 10 o'clock this morning, our
time? I
believe
so, yes. You also have the story about the red and yellow wristbands. And this is in regard to those players that have been vaccinated and the unvaccinated. Because right now in Pittsburgh, according to Pro Football Talk, unvaccinated players are wearing yellow wristbands. First-round rookie running back Najee Harris is one of those. In Jacksonville, unvaccinated players will wear a wristband. Tampa said vaccinated players will wear a red wristband and unvaccinated players will wear a yellow wristband. And some of the, of course, they've started practice this weekend, started training camp, and most of the players for the Buccaneers are wearing red wristbands. Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans. And then for some other players, you couldn't really tell if they were in a wristband or not. Tom Brady did not have a wristband on, nor did Blaine Gabbert or rookie quarterback Kyle Trask. Leonard Fournette, who said he's not going to be vaccinated, did not have a wristband on either. So does it mean that Brady's not vaccinated? We're not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Should they be wearing wristbands to indicate vaccinated, non-vaccinated? Or should there be some kind of identifying those that have and have not? Or is that creating too much of a stigma on those players that have not been vaccinated?
Yeah, if you want to do that in-house,
Keep a list.
Keep it private, I guess.
Yeah, I.
But the color-coded wristbands on the practice field for all to see is a little...
I don't like that.
A little uncomfortable for me,
yeah,
maybe.
I don't like that. It's like, oh, look, see, these are the guys that don't care enough, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be that deal.
Or any other thing.
Right.
You know, it's just, yeah, keep that in-house.
Yeah, I don't like that idea.
If players want to come out one side or the other, whatever side they're on, and
yeah,
say that, fine.
Look, Friday...
The team shouldn't be the one to do that.
Friday, I expressed my feelings about vaccinations,
mm-hmm,
and I'm not going to get into all that again today because it gets people sideways.
Riled up.
But I don't think that it's probably right to have guys singled out, so mm-hmm, to speak, of these are the guys who have been vaccinated, these are the guys that have not.
Right.
And for the public to know and for the media to go, okay, well, we can, you know, you start speculation. You know, people are like, well, maybe Tom Brady doesn't care enough, right, about mm-hmm getting vaccinated. He doesn't care about, you know, playing football games and avoiding going on the COVID list and you know, all that stuff starts, which we don't know. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe he has.
Right.
Maybe he just didn't want to wear a wristband. I don't know. He's Tom Brady, and kind of to a certain degree, he'll do what he wants to do.
And to be honest, I don't really care that much, to be honest. If player X is vaccinated and player Y is not, I really don't.
I don't either.
And I don't think that's
for
should
them,
be...
That's the, for them to deal with.
Yes, and I don't think that should be... It should be up to the team to publicize who is and who isn't.
No, I don't think it's fair to the players that have not been vaccinated,
right,
for whatever their reasons might be.
If the player wants to stamp his forehead, go for it. But I don't think the team should be doing this. That's my thought.
Right. Also, I mentioned Deshaun Watson plans on being at Texans camp. More from Pro Football Talk today, and this is certainly something the Broncos would probably be keeping an eye on as mm-hmm well, that reports are that the Texans are making phone calls and asking who might be interested in Deshaun Watson right now.
They better have 31 calls go to voicemail, because it makes zero sense to trade for him right now.
without knowing what the legal ramifications are going to be, not just the civil suits, mm-hmm. but also the ongoing investigation into this from a criminal standpoint, and then what the league may or may not do in regard to Deshaun Watson. Is it going to be a year suspension? 6 games? What does that look like? And
right.
And last but certainly not least, are you willing as a organization to sell Deshaun Watson to your fan base with these allegations that are not going to go away anytime soon? Like I said the other day, 2 could be a couple of individuals looking to make a buck.
Mm-hmm.
20, 21, that's a pattern of really terrible, horrible behavior yeah. from somebody.
That's what this word serial means.
Exactly.
And that, to me, is that's enough to be hands-off.
22 civil lawsuits against him right
yes.
now. And in this report, they mentioned the Broncos, Dolphins, and Eagles have all been believed to be favorites to pursue Watson. But this gets to the other thing that's also out there today, and this is not Rodgers adjacent. This is
Rodgers! This got double checked!
Full-on Rodgers
mm-hmm.
reporting this morning that if Rodgers is available, and this is from Mike Florio, would the Broncos trade for him? That the Broncos continue to be, you look at any, you know, our friends at FanDuel, any place.
Yeah.
Denver continues to be the odds-on favorite to get Aaron Rodgers.
Well, now some places have taken those bets off the board because of other Aaron Rodgers rumors, which we'll get to in a minute.
Right. And so the list, the wish list supposedly is the Broncos, the Raiders, and the 49ers. So if after today, maybe there's going to be the meeting with the Packers shareholders, which doesn't mean they're going to vote to trade Aaron Rodgers. That's not in their power to do that. They'll definitely express their opinions on how Murphy and Gutekunst have handled the Rodgers situation. You know, there will be probably some a little Q&A opportunity there. Well, or maybe Murphy's going to say, no, we're not going to give a mic to anybody.
No, he's got a blog for that.
Exactly.
Where he can pick the questions.
Now, according to a league source, the Broncos are leery about the total cost of trading for Rodgers. Between his expected compensation and the general belief the Packers would want 3 first-round picks and a second-round pick for him. And the price paid in draft picks and/or players to accomplish the trade necessarily reduces the team's willingness to pay Rodgers, since the combined price becomes a sliding scale of cash to the players and stuff to his former team. The more a new team would have to give the Packers to get Rodgers, the less it would want to give Rodgers. So keep that in mind, that it's not all about, hey, going to trade away first-round picks and this and that, and you got to be willing to live with that. It's what does that compensation look like going forward for Aaron Rodgers as a Denver Bronco?
Yeah, because now you have to pay him.
And look, George Payton was in Minnesota when they sold their souls for Brett Favre. So he was there, and he understands what that's like to get a player that is of a similar ilk in Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. And look, the Vikings, you know, they lose that NFC championship game to the Saints. You know, they get to the NFC championship game, and then they also made it, you know, the playoffs in 2008 as well. Will the Broncos look at the Aaron Rodgers situation and go, too rich? He is clearly too rich for our blood.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, okay, we can live with the 3 first-round picks and a second rounder. We can live with that. But what's that going to look like? Are they going to expect more? Are they going to ask for Bradley Chubb? Are they going to ask for Cortland Sutton? Are they going to ask for picks and an established player? And guys that you really want to keep on your roster, guys that are still pretty young players early on in their career, guys that still have yet to really probably scratch the surface of their talent. And then what does it look like to pay him down the road? And with the Broncos' unsettled ownership situation right now, that's not good either.
Yeah. There's no one really at the top to make that decision outside of Joe Ellis.
And so the question is this, that while we all, look, here in Broncos country, since that draft day news, right, that broke mm-hmm. about Rodgers wants out of Green Bay, he wants to come to Denver, Denver has some interest. We have quietly sat back and waited to see how this is going to play out. And the more I look at it, the less I think that it's going to happen. Maybe it happens next year if they decide to part ways after this season. If Adams and Rodgers decide to, the last dance, we're going to come back for one, like Butch and Sundance, we're coming back for one final run in a Packers uniform to try to get to the Super Bowl and win it.
Right.
It just isn't looking very likely that it's going to be the Broncos. And when you look at what they may have to give up to make it happen, I know we've always said no price would be too much. And I've always had reluctance in saying anything like that. There does come a point where the price does become too much if you're the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And that I get it for a guy like Vic Fangio, you want to win now. His Fanny is on the hot seat. Denver has to at least be a playoff contender this year for him to stick around. I don't think Denver has to be a playoff team, but they have got to be in the conversation late in the season if Vic Fangio is going to be here in 2022. Because George Payton has no connection other than they knew each other from being in the same division for a while. That's their relationship. And probably, times that they've talked at various things, maybe at the combine or something like that. But it's not like he's the handpicked guy of George Payton. And so, yeah, you might be a Vic Fangio that would like to see Denver get Aaron Rodgers because it's going to enhance your chances of being a playoff team. Obviously, it would be. But are you going to be able to give up all those picks that we're talking about? We're talking about three first-round picks. I mean, that's one thing. But then it's how do you address the compensation of Aaron Rodgers going forward? That becomes the second part of this problem. It's not about what you send to the Packers specifically. It's also the other part of this, which I think people, we get this, this craze kind of, imagine Rodgers in a Broncos uniform and how great that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be really cool. But there are other aspects to this that make it a challenging situation for the Broncos to take on. 818. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. I wish it would happen. I think it'd be fantastic if it happened. I just don't know if they can pull it off and have it from a long-term standpoint make sense for them. Got any thoughts on that? Or
He's going to ask a lot of money, but it comes down to how much you can make with Aaron Rodgers at the helm versus how much you could possibly make with somebody else. Jersey sales going to go up. Ticket prices can go up. You automatically assume you're into the playoffs. You end up getting a home game. There's more gate money. Is that going to be able to make up the difference between what you're willing to pay and what he's going to ask? That's my question. And
remember, he turned down a deal that would have made him the highest paid player in the league.
Yes.
So he's already turned that deal down. And will you be able to pay him what he feels like he should be making in Denver going forward? It's one thing, the thing you give up initially, and then how do you address the financials after that?
Right.
Very quickly, Lindsey Jones over at The Athletic put out their NFL power rankings as training camp starts. Just hit on this very quickly. Your number one team, power ranking wise,
Tampa,
Kansas City Chiefs. Oh. Tampa's number two in this, with the Bills third, Ravens, the Rams, followed by the Packers, the Browns, Seattle, San Francisco, and Indianapolis. Those are your top 10 when it comes to the power rankings on this. Now, as far as the broad
San
goes,
Francisco and Indy in the top 10.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the Broncos, as far as the power rankings go with this, they are sitting at, I'm trying to just scroll through here very quickly. They have the Broncos sitting at number 21.
Hmm.
Yeah. If the quarterback position, if one of those guys emerges and plays well enough, right?
Yeah.
Bridgewater.
There's a lot of ifs on the, if the defense comes together. There are a lot of ifs. Some are bigger ifs than others, obviously, but.
Yeah, you're hoping what they did with Fuller and Darby, that all, you know, and drafting Patrick Surtain.
Yeah.
You know, junior, that's going to be a big lift for that defense. The back half of the defense could be the best in the league. But once again, on paper, it's fantastic. In reality, we've got to see it all come together, and it starts this week with training camp. All right, Dave Yonke from Gene Taylor's American Legion Baseball is going to join us at 8:40 this morning. Before we take a break, who do we have here?
This is George.
All right. George, good morning. How you doing, man?
Morning, guys. Hey, on the Packers deal, I think it's lost a lot of value because when I see the trade, I go, shots at a legitimate Super Bowl win. So, you know, I'd say you really were at 2.5 before this year if you could have got him into OTAs. But since you're so close to camp, you're not going to be able to change around your install, the plays that Aaron Rodgers is familiar with. And really, it took, like, you know, Tampa Bay 10 weeks to have Tom Brady, who's been playing in the league 20 years, to be able to start using his own offense.
True.
And start seeing his touches and their improvement. And I think that that's going to be the same thing that you see with Aaron Rodgers. So, this season's about done if you were to switch teams and be productive. So I think the price to get them should go down. I don't know if Green Bay may or may not get it. I don't know what they're going to do. I think Aaron would rather retire. And then be careful on that contract, turning down money. I think you play for less because we don't know the terms, and I've heard people hinting that it was like a 4 or 5 year deal with all the money backloaded and not guaranteed. And they just kind of threw it out there, and he's like, he said no. Of course, he might not have saw a dime after 2 years if they traded him. But then they could go to their fan base and say, yeah, we're going to make him the highest paid guy in the game. So
right. And right now, I mean, retirement, I mean, because this could be a Carson Palmer-like thing where that does force the Packers' hand, and they have to get something for him, and that could drive the price down. You're right about that. And, you know, but if he decides not to retire, just sits it out, there's going to be a lot more suitors in 2022 for him than right now. And then you'd have, obviously, an off season where he could come in, be at minicamp OTAs, and like you said, get immersed into the offense that he wants to run wherever he ends up going to.
I agree, and he's a year older. And so I think the price, no matter how you slice it, is going down the longer Green Bay waits. Someone might step up and say, well, heck, let's throw it. I don't know, you know. Let's throw a lot at it. It just takes one. But I think overall in the equation, whenever you deal for these guys, it's to win Super Bowls. So you do the math. He's 38. How many legitimate chances does he have to get you to a Super Bowl and win it? And then that's what you're paying for. And what are the chances this year? Is it the same chance that you would have had if you had him 5 weeks ago even? I don't think it is. So it's just constantly changing. The math is changing. And as training camp starts, that's all going to change. But I think it's been personal enough there. It's just like he doesn't need it. Doesn't need it. He's out. He doesn't care.
It's scorched earth. I mean, he wants out. And you know, he made a good point, George, about Tom Brady. Remember early on in the season last year? All the looks like Brady's lost it. Just doesn't look as sharp. And then all of a sudden he started, like you said, incorporating some of the things he likes to do offensively. He started to develop that comfort level with Evans and the receivers, and of course had Rob Gronkowski already there, guy that he knows well. That it took a while though. It wasn't like all of a sudden Tom Brady was going out and throwing for 320 yards and two touchdowns every game. It took a while, and that was even with, you know, even though the offseason was changed because of COVID, still somewhat of an offseason to work with. Yeah, I just don't see this thing working out with Aaron Rodgers. I just don't. I think Denver's going to be committed to the two guys they have right now and seeing how that defense comes together in 2021.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a big risk, man. You take it now, you have your install, you have your quarterbacks, you work. That's why Denver, I think, wanted to get it done sooner than later. And they're not dumb over there. They did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what kind of flexibility they have to install a system that is close to Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that their system now is anything like LaFleur's system, where Aaron came from. But again, he ran a McCarthy system early on, so maybe their system's similar. That I don't know. But it's never just, especially with quarterbacks. Peyton came to Denver and ran his own things. Tom started getting to run his own things week 9 and 10 when they made the shift and started playing really well. It's not just Aaron Rodgers equals success. It's not the way it works.
There are other things have to factor into that, and you're right about that. And this offseason, the way it's gone, is not set up for Aaron Rodgers to come in and have that kind of success right out of the gate. If they trade for him today, I mean, that would be they'd be in the same situation.
Exactly. Those coaches have their training camp installed right now, and they've been working on it, of course, through mini camp. But they already have their calendar of what they're working on by day for the next month set up. So it just is what it is.
All right, George, very quickly, because I know you love college football. Your thoughts about Texas OU going to the SEC? We expect maybe some kind of announcement today on that. I know the Big 12 met with the presidents of Texas and Oklahoma yesterday, but doesn't sound like it probably was enough to convince them to stick around long term. So what's your quick take on it, man?
Man, it's unfortunate. I don't know. So I represent the tight end coach out at Iowa State, and I kind of talked to him, and he just said, I don't really care. So they don't care. They're ready to play football. I think myself, I don't know. I think that the Big 12, the future of the Big 12 lies in going back to Western expansion. If it's me, I think it's unfortunate because there's some great games in there. If it's me, I try and I go and I look back and I try and grab CU, and then I grab Wyoming, CSU, and I grab Nebraska back. And I start looking for Western expansion, sprinkle in a Houston, get some Texas footholds, and a Memphis just a little bit to get a little bit more of a geographical area. But look, Wyoming already wrestles in the Big 12. And so does Boise State.
Yeah, I mean, those are ones that would be natural fits. It just, are they going to have the resolve to try to rebuild the Big 12 and go out? Because the American, look, their commissioner has been very, very vocal about, we want to be a Power 5 conference and we'll do what it takes to make that happen. They could be very, very aggressive in this, and they may be able to jump ahead of the Big 12 in any plans they might have for survival plans.
Oh, that's the issue. But they, meaning the Big 12, Bob Bowlesby has a very big financial interest in saving this Big 12 conference for personal reasons. Do the chancellors and presidents have any? Does Baylor, does Texas Tech, does Iowa State, do those presidents have any stake in keeping the Big 12? And I think the answer is yes. I think that yes, the answer is yes. They don't want to go to the Big 10 because they know they're not going to have any political power in the Big 10. What does Texas Tech do? Go to the Pac-12 and be ran by California? We saw Pac-12 not play football this year because of the powers that be and who runs that conference and then the different geographical divergences. I would say yes, they have some. I don't know if they'll be able to make it work. It all comes down to financials, right?
Yeah, that's part of the reason why OU and Texas are thinking about, you know, leaving the conference. It gets down to TV dollars and those kind of things. Hey, George, appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
All right, take care. All right. George, some thoughts about Rodgers, and it's a valid point. I mean, they have been going through minicamps, OTAs. Bridgewater and Locke have been there. Pat Shurmur has his offense installed. That process has been underway for quite some time. And can you do it on the fly? And could Aaron Rodgers come in could they work in wrinkles that, you know, that Rodgers wants in the offense? Yeah, I guess so, but it's going to be a challenge to do that. So we'll see where this all goes. This camp opens this week for the Packers and Broncos. We'll start our training camp reports tomorrow with Mike Rice right here on the team. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. 8:29, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us today. The good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend, 970-242-1340.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 8:33. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Get over to the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. This is from middle school. Mike, good morning, Mike. Kudos to the basketball players that showed up for Team USA, but the NBA should be embarrassed for not showing up for their country only once every 4 years. LeBron, Kyrie, Curry, and the rest.
Well, I mean, how many do you want from them? That's my question.
Yeah, because how many Olympics has LeBron played in?
I think it's three? Four?
That sounds right.
I'm looking right now.
I am as well.
But, you know.
He's won three gold medals.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many? Is that not enough?
Three gold medals, 2008, 2012, bronze at 2004. Set out 2016. So, just trying to look and make sure.
You know, that's kind of my question. Is that enough for you? Or,
I mean, he's 36.
Middle school Mike?
I mean, he's 36. He's won three Olympic medals. Gold in 2008, 2012, bronze in 2004. And so, set out 2016, like I said, in Rio, when the U.S. won gold there. And, you know, he said at the time, back in 2016, every time I watch him, I wish I was out there.
Steph Curry's got a couple World Cup golds. He's not played in the Olympics.
Which, if you want to take a shot at Steph Curry, then okay, maybe that's fair, because he's never played in it.
But it's not like he's never played for Team USA. Kyrie won a gold. I mean, so what? I mean, they have to play until they die? They have to play until they retire? I mean, these guys have already put in their time with Team USA.
I'm just like, he's 30. LeBron's 36 now. People forget he's 36.
Kyrie spent a portion of this year injured. Steph Curry has been injured the last couple of years.
LeBron had the high ankle injury, the high ankle sprain, you know, toward the end of the season. So he had that to contend with.
I mean, if you want to crack on guys for not playing that have never played for Team USA,
I'm okay with that. Sure.
That have opted out. But when you have guys that have international gold that have done it, LeBron's got three golds and a bronze. How many more Olympics do you want him to play in?
Yeah, he's gone there, he's played, he's won gold. The U.S. has meddled when he's been there. I get it. People don't like him. But I don't think that's an unfair criticism on him. Like he's never played or never participated in
he
it.
Should he be has. Embarrassed for only winning three golds and a bronze. Kyrie should be embarrassed for only winning one.
Steph Curry, if you want to crack on him a little bit, okay.
See, for me, I'll even defend Steph Curry. He's played for Team USA before, just not in the Olympics.
Right. But he has not played for them in the Olympics, and that's different than just playing international competition where, I mean, the Olympics are the big stage, and I don't like to crack on anybody on this stuff. Especially the guys, though, that have been there, have led the U.S. to medals, particularly a guy like LeBron James, where I, like I said, totally get it. Pyle, you hate him, you can't stand him, you don't like LeBron James. But, and there are things about LeBron I'm not crazy about myself, but I think you and I, we like to be fair about stuff. That's not a fair criticism of him.
Correct.
Act like he's never done anything, he's never at the Olympic level, he's never been there, he's never contributed. That's horse crap. That's not true.
And Steph was on the U19 FIBA team. He's got two world golds. In 2016, in the Olympics, he was on the team but pulled out because of ankle and knee injuries.
You know, and his reasons for not playing this year, I don't know. I'm not sure why, but
could be he's done it. He's not playing the Olympics, but he's been on Team USA before. I mean, I understand that's a distinction for some. For me, it's not.
Well, even Jerry Colangelo, who's, you know, outgoing now as the head of Team USA, said in the case of LeBron, it's like, look, the guy's 36.
Yeah,
there comes a point where the wear and tear of of another NBA season on his body has been too much. I think it's cool that Grant Hill's going to take it over running Team USA.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be really, really cool. All right, 8:38.
Original Dream Teamer, right? I think so. Him and Leitner were the college kids, right?
I think Leitner was the only college player on the original Dream Team.
I believe. You may be right.
I think that's right. I don't think Grant got to go with them. With the original Dream Team, it was just Leitner that was the only college player that made it.
Grant Hill was on the 96 team.
Right.
So you're right.
Did go there, but just not, yes, not with the original Dream Team. All right, 8:38, Dave Yonke, coach of Gene Taylor's American Legion baseball team, is going to join us coming up in a moment. And it's time right now for...
Was that a good call, or did they totally blow it? It's good call or bad call.
Okay, good call, bad call. Good call or bad call that Trevor Bauer will not be with the Dodgers by the time this season comes to an end. The more I'm reading, that's a good call that he may not be there, because remember, he's still on paid leave by MLB as they investigate the assault allegations against him. And there's a report from the LA Times that there's a majority of Dodger players who don't want him back at all. So,
yeah, Trevor Bauer not very well liked.
So I'm kind of wondering, was some of this a little bit before this incident came out, that he was already rubbing guys the wrong way there?
Shocked.
And then this happens, and like they really don't like him. I think it's a good call that Trevor Bauer's not going to be back with the Dodgers. Maybe this year he is done. I think that's a good call.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Good call back. Dan Wetzel has an article on Yahoo taking the organizing committee, the bid committee for Tokyo, and the IOC to task about the weather, with heat indexes well into the triple digits, upper 90s, 70% humidity for a lot of these outdoor events, about how when proposed, the Japanese organizing committee said this would be ideal weather. He flat out calls them liars. Because they live there. They know.
The
last time the games were in Tokyo, they were held in October. Because the weather was so hot in July. But because of the almighty dollar and TV ratings, here we are.
The weather's just great. Just perfect.
That's a good call. They straight up lied.
They straight up lied. Look, the Tokyo games, they should have just... And I get it. From a financial standpoint, they could not do it with the TV deal with NBC. But just bail on it this year. But there was no way that was going to happen, right? There was no way.
Not 2 years in. Nope.
People were... Probably hundreds of people are going to have to die before they go, okay, I think we probably better not do this. I mean, die during the Olympics before they were going to say, now we're not going to do it. It's going to be interesting to see how...
I think if they were scheduled for a different country, a more lax country, they would have went on last year.
Probably so. I don't know. I just... To me, without fans there, it just doesn't seem... Oh, and Team USA's not got off to the best of starts. What, first time since 72 that they did not win a gold medal, like the first day of the Olympics? That's how long that run has been for the United States. All right, 8:42. That's good call, bad call. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And Dave Yonke, coach of the Gene Taylor's American Legion baseball team, joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 8:45. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles, the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. Pick somebody off the text line to win Qdoba today. All right, joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, his team winning the state championship, the American Legion Tournament over in the Front Range with a win against Rocky Mountain out of Fort Collins. Dave Yonke, coach of Gene Taylor's, joins us. Dave, congratulations on what's been a really pretty awesome week and a half for you. You get the Sports Information Director of the Year Award, you and your staff over at CMU, and you're a state champion coach again.
Yeah, hey, thanks. I appreciate it. It was a kind of a good week/weekend. Over the last 7 days, both on the diamond and in the office for me.
Yeah. So yeah, congratulations on that. On the Con Marshall Award for the RMAC. But you beat Rocky Mountain 19-1 on Sunday, and Ty Waitoko had a big day. Drove in four runs for you for your baseball team. You win the American Legion A State Tournament. So just kind of take us through this championship run for your ball club, Dave.
Yeah, kind of an awkward year, kind of the sense of everything for the last year or so. But awkward year. There was only three teams in the state league this year, but Rocky Mountain, kind of our rival in the state American Legion league, all year in and year out. Both of us make the final of the state tournament, and we came out kind of swinging with a ton of bricks, scoring, I can't remember, it was either 11 or 12 runs in the first inning. They really couldn't get us out. A lot of hard hit balls and balls finding gaps, and Jesse Gadd had a two-run home run, and then Tyler Wytolka backed it up with a home run right behind him. And Ty was named the most outstanding player of the tournament, and Cade Bessert winning the pitcher of the tournament on the mound yesterday. He was on the mound yesterday and was fantastic. He didn't have his stuff early, but kind of found it, and I think he may have given up one hit, two hits, something like that. And the guys, they played really, really well. The last 2 weeks they've played really well. You know, early in that 2 week stretch, didn't see the wins, but we're really still playing well. And then finally last week, starting on Tuesday, saw the wins, and then played really, really well Saturday and Sunday this weekend.
He's the head coach of the Gene Taylor's American Legion baseball team, Dave Yonke, joining us on the Team Sports Network. Cade Bessert, as you mentioned, the five innings, gave up one hit, one run, struck out six to get the win and that state championship victory, 19-1 over Rocky Mountain out of Fort Collins. So maybe some other guys you want to talk about a little bit. You mentioned Jesse Gadd had the two-run home run. Ty Wytolka had the big day. He had a home run as well. But you had some other guys that also was swinging it well. With Drew Wojtek, also Luke Weaver, Ryder Mancuso, those guys all collected multiple hits. Luke Brown as well from Central. Those guys all had pretty good days at the plate in that state championship victory.
Yeah, we really swung it well at the plate, especially in that first inning. You mentioned most of them. Colton Romero was another one. I think he had three or four hits. I know Ty was a triple away from the cycle. You mentioned Luke Brown. He had multiple hard hit balls. They're just about everybody just really swinging it well, and I really credit it to their approach. We kind of been working on the approach at the plate all summer long, and most of these guys have made the adjustments that they've needed to and have really taken to it, and now they're starting to see that success, which is really exciting for me as a coach, for them to see that and get a lot of hard hit balls, not only to their strength but sometimes to their weaknesses. Ryder struggled all year with trying to pull the ball too much, and lo and behold, in that game, he hammers a ball to right center for extra bases, and it was kind of the light bulb moment for him. He really swung it well yesterday, but having that hit to right center, that was kind of the highlight of my day, honestly, is to finally see him have that success hitting the ball the other way.
Dave Yonke, head coach of the Gene Taylor's American Legion baseball team, with us. So Dave, this is what your second state title, correct?
This is my fifth.
Your fifth. I'm three yep. off. I'm sorry. Your fifth one. So how many times has Gene Taylor's won the state title now?
That's I think it's seven total times. The two times before the program stopped, I think, in 93 or 94, somewhere in there, and then there's five since we've picked it up in 2007.
That's fantastic. So congratulations on a fifth championship for yourself. So it's not over for you guys, though. You win the state title, and now it's regional play in Hastings, Nebraska, coming up next month.
Yeah, we start we head out on Tuesday, August 3rd, I believe, if I have my dates correct, and we'll play on the 4th against the champion from Iowa, the state champion from Iowa, in Hastings, Nebraska. Don't know anything about them. I tried doing a little research last night as I was laying in bed on some of these teams, and a lot of them, their state tournament is this week, and so kind of going to be computer watching a lot this week just to see what it looks like for some of these other teams. But we do Iowa's is wrapped up. Still working on finding some information about them.
Well, Dave, congratulations. Congratulations to you and your ball club on another state championship. Your fifth as the coach of Gene Taylor's American Legion baseball team. I appreciate the time. And best of luck coming up in regional play. And I'm sure we'll be talking around that time, talking about that regional matchup.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it, Dave. Take care.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right, Dave Yonke. Fifth championship for Dave Yonke. I said two. It's five.
Yeah.
Five American Legion titles now for Dave Yonke and the guys at Gene Taylor's. That's impressive. Congratulations to all those players. And now moving on to regional play. Coming up at Hastings, Nebraska against the Iowa champion. All right. Text or call us today. 970-242-1340. Next hour, Andrew Decker, who's the defensive coordinator of the Fruit of Monument football team, is going to join us, talk about their upcoming golf tournaments. So that'll be heading your way next hour. And there's still time to text in today with the good, the bad, the ugly. Pile, it's been
ugly.
It's been slim pickings today when it comes to the text line. It's not like there's nothing to comment on from the weekend, right? Rockies lose couple of close games to the Dodgers in a series that they probably should have won. USA men's basketball, they have their 25-game Olympic winning streak snapped. Do you think they even medal? Give us the good, the bad, the ugly. Text or call us 970-242-1340. One of the kind of cool things that happened last week was Connor Joe for the Rockies getting his first big league home run on the one-year anniversary of him overcoming cancer. When he had that home run against Seattle, that was kind of a cool story from last week.
Yeah, we touched on that at some point. I can't remember, but I meant to touch on it at the very least. But yeah, it's the 1 year
anniversary. Probably talked about it Wednesday when I wasn't here, so that's probably when you...
Maybe. I wasn't paying attention that day. but we...
What a shock.
Yeah. No, that was great. It's one of those things that didn't really know that about Connor Joe until we heard about the home run. You know, so... But right. That's... It's a great milestone for him. First career dinger on kind of a milestone day.
Yeah. You know, we had, of course, Trey Mancini for the Orioles that was in the home run derby final and playing the All-Star game, guy that's overcome cancer himself. And so it's got a couple of great stories about guys overcoming cancer happening at Coors Field over the last couple of weeks. All right. Text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Reminder, by the way, that tomorrow over at GJ Golf, PXG will be there doing demos from 11 o'clock to 4 tomorrow. Call GJ Golf, give Ty a call over there, or go to the shop, set up an appointment. You can also check them out online at ggolf.net. But PXG will be over there tomorrow doing demos from 11 to 4 o'clock. So make sure you get signed up for that. All right. So next hour, we mentioned Andrew Decker will join us from the Fruit of Monument football team. Also next hour, we'll give you the latest on what's going on with OU and Texas. They had a meeting last night with the Big 12. With what the Big 12 potentially pitched at them, will that be enough to convince them to stay? So we'll get into that coming up next hour as well. So the latest on OU and Texas, which does have ripple impact across college football. There's no doubt about it. It's going to have a big impact when those two teams leave the Big 12. Certainly looking more and more like that's going to happen. Text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. We'll take a break and come back with Hour 3.